The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It is lucky episode number 13, but it is also lucky for the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers as the Stanley Cup Finals for 2025 begins in Edmonton. Very interesting that it is happening in Edmonton. That's a little bit of a change, Drew. How much will home ice have anything to do with the way this series goes?
Well, I don't know with regarding the Oilers, because they've been so good at home ice for so long now. That crowd, you know, we've seen it in San Jose all those years of the Sharks in the playoffs. That crowd's very loud, very boisterous. The impact or the spotlight is always on the Oilers throughout the year because of McDavid and Draisaitl, because how good they are. There's a little extra, pressure, but certainly emphasis on the fact that the cup can finally come home to Canada. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's such a ridiculous statement. The cup comes home to Canada every year because Canadians are on every team that wins the Stanley Cup. But it's
exactly.
It's a big narrative here and back home, especially with the media. So I think the big thing for the Edmonton Oilers, they'll certainly be happy and excited about being home to start on home ice. But they've been so good this entire playoffs that I'm not sure how much of a so-called advantage it will bring.
Well, one thing's for sure. Florida's got the best road record in the NHL in the playoffs. They're 8-2 away from BB&T Arena. Meanwhile, in Edmonton, the Oilers are the best among the remaining teams. Although the Dallas Stars won one more game, they were 7-3. Edmonton 6-1 at home. Only one loss. So they're right there with the Winnipeg Jets for best win percentage in home games. We all know what happened to Winnipeg on the road. Edmonton's better than that. But that home ice advantage you talk about might not be as good in this case because, A, the Florida Panthers are the Stanley Cup champions, and, B, they've got the best road record in the league in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers play that style of game that we've talked about often. The beautiful simplicity of their game is so effective in taking away home ice advantage, because what they do is they give their team a chance to get traction with their game. They give themselves a chance, I should say. They put pucks behind, they get in the forecheck, they work you in your own zone. They don't allow you to do a lot of wheeling and dealing, and it's hard for the home crowd because you're waiting for something to happen. As the home crowd, you want, oh, come on, guys, we're going to score and we're going to get to go crazy. It's going to be fun. And Florida goes, nah, we're going to put our emphasis on this game. We're going to put our stamp on this game. And they take away your opportunity as a home team to get your crowd excited.
Rematch from last year's Stanley Cup final. So there's a lot of familiarity and a lot of contempt between these two teams, even though they only play a couple of times a year. That was something that Coach Paul Maurice was talking about when he described being more prepared this year, simply because they know where everything is.
All of the unknowns are great for both teams. So a lot will be made of the distance traveled, but where they are, they're used to it all year. They go through it all year. So do we, right? Like, we've got teams in our division that are 3.5-hour flights and they're in our division. So we stay over because we have to in your own division. It's the same concept with them. Both teams can get on an airplane, spend 5 hours, get in a different time zone. It's just the way we operate. It's normal for us. So I don't think that there's anything to that idea that we learned something, but there really wasn't a whole lot to learn because we do it every day. Like, that's just our normal life in the NHL. So when we got to the final last year, both teams probably figured out maybe better how much water you need on the plane, like some small details. But the living through it for both teams, I think it just is going to make for a whole bunch of the unknowns are gone. Two really good teams. This is potentially could be an outstanding series of high-end quality hockey, right? We both I don't know what we played. They played 16. We played 17. You know, neither team got a double seven-game series stacked on them. This should be good.
Oh, I think it's going to be more than good. I think it's going to be great. And, of course, the Oilers have something to prove from last year after losing in game number 7. And Chris Knobloch, their head coach, talked about just bringing that into the act this year and remembering what happened and in trying to use that as motivation.
I think the toll it takes throughout the regular season, just getting prepared to play the playoffs, I think that's what was on everybody's mind. I don't necessarily know if, you know, how close we were, you know, has an effect on, you know, does this help us now or hurt us? I don't think there's any answer to that. I don't think it has any bearing if we would have lost 4 straight or 7 game as close as it came down to last year. I think we just need to, I think it was good for us, you know, to play all those rounds. More experience you have, the better it is, just because of there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be stressful moments during this playoff series. I think it'll help us in the long run.
We hear what he's saying, Drew, but I also have a memory that you do, too, about the tennis series that happened the year after the Sharks beat the Red Wings. And that was a 7-game series. That was a series that the Red Wings expected to win, obviously. The Sharks won. I think the Oilers expected to beat Florida last year. It was Florida that won. And, of course, the next season, the scores were 6-love, 6-2, 6-2, 6-2. That's why we call it the tennis series. Red Wings swept the Sharks in round 2. Don't you think that it does have some effect on the guys that were there last year?
Without a doubt. I think both on both coaching quotes that you just used or audio that you just used, number one, Paul Maurice is removing excuses, right? He's right away removing excuses or any crutch that the players might be leaning on. And a team that is good at Florida and is well-founded in veterans that they are, they won't have any, but he's just making sure. Chris Knobloch, on the other hand, is looking at it like, well, we'll see if we learned anything. And he's putting that on the players again, going, "There, it's on you guys. You should, because we have more experience than we went through it last year, should be easier to get into this series this year and not be down right away in the series." I think both coaches are doing a really good job there on sending messages through their quotes. As far as this series goes, I'm looking at it more, Danny, like Detroit and Pittsburgh. When Detroit wins against Pittsburgh, and then the next year Pittsburgh comes back and wins. I'm not saying that the Oilers are going to win this. I'm not saying that this won't be a very tight, tough series, that Florida is definitely not going to win. I think I look at this series as you saw Edmonton grow over the last year. And even though Florida lost players to free agency, they're still able, with their culture, with their outstanding players, with Barkov, Tkachuk, Reinhardt, Bennett, Bobrovsky, Ekholm, Mikkola, on and on it goes, that they're still running the show. They're still the guys in charge. So for me, I'm looking at this as two teams that are really about as good as we've ever seen two teams go back to back.
It really is amazing. And of course, Edmonton has some of those similarities too. They lost a couple of guys to RFA contracts to the St. Louis Blues. That was something that happened over the summer. They made a couple of trades, one of them bringing Jake Walman from the Sharks to help the depth on defense, John Klingberg helping out in that area too. And Florida doing some of the same thing, also with a couple of moves with San Jose Sharks hockey. I know Jonah Gadjevich was here a few years ago, but he's an important player. And then, of course, Nico Sturm isn't even playing right now, but he's an important depth piece that might be part of this final series before it's over. Although Paul Maurice was talking about this just yesterday as we record this. A.J. Greer is day-to-day and Luostarinen is day-to-day. He expects Luostarinen to be back, but A.J. Greer he kind of hedged on, but he did say that he probably would not bring in Nico Sturm. He'd probably bring in a winger, but I'm still waiting to see what that decision is going to be, because if it were up to you and me, it would be Nico Sturm in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happened, though, the A.J. Greer, they basically replaced that whole line after they fell down to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And they replaced that whole line. They wanted a more physical presence, so Gadjevich and Greer came in on that line. And they provided sparks. They just kept winning after that. So you don't blame Paul for actually being a little hesitant putting Nico in. I would put Nico in any day of the week, but you and I are both very biased about it. When you look at Lustarainen, that's a very important key, because I think the third line for the Florida Panthers, a forechecking trio that is relentless with Marchand, Lustarainen, and Lundell, that's the line that's really been a big spark and consistent changer in as far as momentum. When Paul Maurice needs momentum, that third line goes out there and does a great job. And I don't know if Edmonton has a line that can counter the third line for the Florida Panthers. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. But injuries play a part this far into a playoff, that's for sure.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that third line, because as you and I both know, it's often that third line that wins you the Stanley Cup. And Florida put that together. You mentioned Lundell, Marchand, and Lustarainen, and obviously they've been spectacular. But what Chris Knobloch was asked just recently was whether or not he felt that Matthias Janmark line that he put together now with Victor Arvidsson and Vasily Podkolzin can actually stand up to that line and provide a push the other way. And here's what he said about it.
You know, I think they've got three really good lines that can score. And the fourth line is, you know, they've scored some important goals for them. They play with a lot of physicality. So it's not that, they're very good, deep team. What we want for line matchups, you know, I think we're at our best when we're able to roll our lines. And obviously, Connor's getting about 20 minutes, Leon's getting about 20 minutes, but getting everyone involved. And if you're going to get everybody involved with Connor and Leon playing those minutes, you can't be searching for matchups, because it just takes away the flow, it ices guys. So I think we're a very strong, deep team where no matter what line is playing against the other team's top line, second line, whatever it is, I think we're equipped that we can have all four of our lines play against whoever.
Well, there's Chris Knobloch doing his best Pete DeBoer imitation, trying to roll four lines. He doesn't typically do that, though, as series goes on. He really starts to rely on those top guys a little bit more, don't you think?
Yeah, he does. He'll double shift Leon and Connor together. He will, you get that last change at home. You're able to get them out on offensive zone faceoffs. But I believe him, and I believe Paul Maurice, when they talk about the depth, the importance of rolling four lines. I believe Chris Knobloch is 100% right when he's saying that you want to get your team into a rhythm. You know, we've talked a lot about giving your team a chance to get their game going. Well, that means everybody involved, because we have seen with the Edmonton Oilers, and it's been proven again and again and again and again, that every coach falls into the trap of Leon and Connor, because why wouldn't you want those guys out on the ice? But the more minutes you give them, the less their game is effective, even though they're two brilliant players. So Knobloch is going to try to make sure that in the start of this series anyway, that he can get his entire team playing. They are a deep team. They're a much better team than they ever were, as are the Florida Panthers.
Going to be a great final series. And of course, Edmonton is much stronger on defense this year, primarily because of the return to health of Matthias Ekholm, who was really, really ecstatic to be in action in the last game against the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I think every season's different. I think our makeup of the team is a bit different this year than it was last year. And I do agree with you there. I feel like we're more experienced, obviously, with that run in. Not a lot of guys have been that far in the playoffs before. So just to have that and to be calm with that and a little more experienced feeling just around the locker room, it's obviously exciting to beat Dallas and to make it to the Cup final, but it wasn't static of any sort. Everybody is still in a position where we know we got more work to do, and I think it's a focused group, and I like where we're at.
Spoken like a true veteran, but Matthias Ekholm's got to be amazed that he's back on the ice after getting injured against the Sharks, actually, late in the season.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I as you're saying, 6 weeks ago, I had no clue where I was going to be at, and most people didn't think I was going to be in this position. So to be able to be part of this group, to be part of things on the ice and help this team win, has obviously been the goal the whole time, and now that it's reality is awesome for me personally. But I think again too, now I've been here, this will be my third final, there's a bit of experience there, and I know that
yeah, a conference championship is obviously something you really want, but it's the big prize that we all want, and I think that's the focus right now, and we all seem to be pretty calm with that.
One thing that's really crazy these days is that players seem to recover a lot faster, and it's not because they're doing anything untoward. It's just because they train so hard and so well, and they've got such great medical advice. And Ekholm talked about that when he talked about his quick recovery.
Surprised might not be the right word. I mean, I obviously had my doubts. When doctors tell you something, they're usually right, but big credit goes out to everything that we've done with it, from ownership to management to trainers to doctors. Everybody's helped in a big way, and I knew that there was cases that have gone quicker than the actual timeline, and that's all that was in my head. I wanted to beat that and be back as soon as possible, and sometimes that doesn't work out, but this time certainly did, so I'm happy that it did. And surprised or not, I don't really know. I think I put in the hard work and it paid off.
However, looking at this game number one, are you really beyond your injury, Matthias, or are you still dealing with something?
Yeah, it's it really is, and that's probably one of the biggest things coming back is, like, I think it's been feeling pretty good for a couple of weeks, but you also got to get, beyond that, a mental thing where you trust it, and when you actually can go 100% in every situation and not think so much, because the minute you start thinking, guys are too good in this league, they're going to burn you. So, that's been a big part of it, and it takes time, it really does, but... it's also the time of year when you don't really have time, so it's a bit of a balance, but I feel really good now. It's nice to get that game in the books and just to kind of get the nerves out of the whole thing, more or less, but I feel really good, and I feel like I trust my body.
Again, Drew, I really credit the medical people for helping him out to get to that point, and of course, all the training you do, you trust, and you know what your body's doing.
Yeah, I mean, the medical staffs, the strength and conditioning, trainers, everybody gets involved. That's one thing when you look at the San Jose Sharks, one of the things that Mike Greer did was making sure bringing in Mike Potenza and really putting a lot of resources into the strength and conditioning, the mental side of it, the physical side of it, the absolute making sure they took care of the players on the CUDA and the Sharks. It was such a great integration of everybody working together to get the most out of their players. And that has to happen, especially when you're a team going into the finals. We all know, Danny, we've seen Sharks go deep in playoff runs, how many guys are working through injuries and playing through injuries. You talk about the difference. I remember the first playoffs we make, Sergei Makarov in Pittsburgh blocks a shot, breaks his foot. Kevin Stevens shot. That's right. And he's getting injections into his foot to freeze the foot every game. And game seven against Detroit, he finally said, no more, no more, no more. And he was tired of just having that, not getting any feeling in his foot, jams his foot into that skate and played a brilliant game seven. No, that's back in the day. Nowadays, I'm not sure if they would freeze somebody's foot or arm or anything like that. But players go through a lot when they get this deep in the playoffs. You think about it. You play 82 games, and then you got to play 20-plus, sometimes as many as 28 games after that in order to win a Stanley Cup. That's a lot of games. And the guys put themselves through a lot. And you need your staff to be there as support and as solutions to problems to help your team.
Well, sometimes your general manager's got to be a solver of your problems too. And I think that you got to credit the Edmonton Oilers because they picked up Jake Walman from the Sharks. He has played quite well for that team. John Klingberg, I think, was an underrated add too. He's an offensive guy that is smart with the puck. He's had injury problems. And so that was, a knock as to whether he could deal with it. But that with Troy Stetcher being available as well, gives Chris Knobloch a real chance to at least have some options on defense if there are any injuries. And Knobloch just said that was a big part of this, but the other big part of it was getting that big guy Ekholm back in.
His first game, he exceeded expectations. And when I say that, just because you never know what you're going to get from a player coming back from an injury. He'd been out for weeks, and then to come in to play against Dallas, who's a good team, high pace playoff game. You know, he looked very comfortable, made a lot of nice plays, and looked a lot like we're accustomed to seeing Ekki play, because he's a heck of a player, and you never know if he's going to be able to pick that up right away. It looked like he was able to pick that up right away. Yeah, he played, I believe, 15, almost 16 minutes that night. Can he play some more minutes? Absolutely. Can he play 30? Probably not there yet, but over 20, yes.
Now, I bet you as soon as he's able to play 30, he probably will in this series.
He's going to have to. It's as simple as that. Florida puts a lot of pressure on defensemen. Florida puts a lot of bodies on defensemen. It's going to be, by the end, I do believe, the attrition that will win the game or lose the series for one team or the other.
Well, one thing's for sure, Evander Kane's healthy, and according to Knobloch, that's going to make a major difference in the way that they approach each and every game.
He does like that stuff. I think we're better equipped this year. We've got more, of, especially up front, a lot more physical players. You know, Evander Kane, we didn't have him last year for the series. We had him for two games, not being healthy. Do I think he can make a difference? Absolutely. Physicality, scoring, making those plays. You know, we missed him last year, and I think he'll be a big part of this series now. But also, guys, you know, Trent Frederick is a guy that we wanted for throughout the playoffs. Here's a guy that can play with a very similar game, not quite as much edge as Evander, not as quite as much offense, but a pretty darn good hockey player who can play that physical game. So, you know, addition to those two guys, some other guys also, but, you know, I think to answer your question, yes, Evander Kane will be a nice addition.
Tanner Brown looks like he's going to be ready to go for game number one, and that'll probably put Jeff Skinner on the shelf. But Skinner came through, never played in the playoffs, 15 years in the NHL, scored a huge goal in that game against Dallas Stars in game number five. And he obviously was pretty happy to make a contribution. And he was told by his coach that he's definitely going to be in the lineup at some point in the final. Probably not game one, though. But the other part of it, Drew, is that there's no Zach Hyman. They're going to miss him.
They are, because of his ability to be physical, which he was doing. He was pretty quiet for the first couple rounds. Then he started to get going and started some scoring or the first few couple games. They're going to miss that physical aspect. But again, they're a team that is like the Florida Panthers. They've got depth. They'll miss this scoring touch around the net, but they do have guys that they can insert into the lineup that can play a physical game. It's not as dependent on individuals anymore. Again, depth matters.
Stuart Skinner in goal. Looks like he's refound his game and looks like he's playing pretty solid hockey going into the final.
Well, it's going to be, this is, to me, Danny, this is the most interesting matchup in the series. Sergei Bobrovsky is a proven winner. Sergei Bobrovsky is a Hall of Famer. But Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be the reason of wins and losses. And for the first couple of rounds, he was the reason they were able to advance, especially as the Toronto series got going. Stuart Skinner was taken out of the lineup and Pickard came in because he didn't play very well against Los Angeles. But Stuart Skinner did this last year too during the regular season. He didn't look very good at times and they were wondering about their goaltending. And yet when the crunch time came, he proved that he can be a big time goalie. To me, this is the most intriguing matchup. Oh, the goalies don't go up against each other. They go up against the shooters. But this will be interesting to see just how much the goaltending will swing this series. I think it's got I think the edge obviously goes to Bobrovsky, but it would be very interesting seeing Skinner in the Dallas series in a couple of those games, in a couple of situations. He was the reason they were able to just maintain their lead and maintain the advantage over the Dallas Stars.
But as we shift over to the Florida Panthers on this show, their defense is pretty solid too. Ekblad and Forsling, really nice D pair. Mikkola and Seth Jones have been outstanding.
Awesome.
And I mean, really, really good. And I know that, you know, Seth Jones, Caleb Jones, that family you're familiar with, he's just a really good hockey player.
This is the best we've seen Seth Jones play for a long, long time. He was terrific in Columbus when he was younger man. You saw the joy get sucked out of him in Chicago, going through what they had to go through in Chicago. But Seth Jones, it's the best I've seen him play. That game 7 against Toronto was the best I've ever seen him, the best game I've ever seen him play. He is amazing. And you're right, that defense, so good. Aaron Ekblad, how good is he playing? How much
fantastic
of a force is he? Yeah, it's that team, again, they are built properly. We talked about, you know, the job. You talked about how the general manager and Stan Bowman and what he's been able to do. And Jeff Jackson has a big hand in it as well in Edmonton. Bill Zito, come on, man. That guy has been just, everything he's been doing has built this team to where it is right now. He's done a fantastic job.
Nothing but net for him. I mean, that's just the way it's worked for them for the last couple of years. And I'm not just talking about Bobrovsky picking him up, but also all of the other moves that he also acquired. Several players from the Sharks that I think are very important to their team over the course of the year. Even Vitek Vanacek, backup goaltending. You got to have it. And I think Vitek is a perfect foil for that.
Danny, I remember last year, Paul Maurice talked about this, that, and we talked about it on this program. When after games, the players do their thing, and Paul says he doesn't say much after the game. He just comes in and then leaves and lets the players. But there's a big roar in the dressing room, and Paul said, "What the hell are they doing?" And he walked in, and Jonah Gadjevich had come back in after the pregnancy and birth. Pregnancy of his wife. It was a very difficult pregnancy, very difficult birth, and they had the baby. And Jonah came into the room. The guys were cheering that Jonah was back, and Paul Maurice said, it shows you that it's not just about the 20 guys who are dressed for the game. It's not just about the guys on the ice. It's about everybody that matters. And so Vitek Vanacek, Nico Sturm, Jonah Gadjevich, guys who aren't playing, have a huge, huge impact on the culture of that Florida Panthers team.
Well, Jimmy Waite for the San Jose Sharks back in 1994. I mean, he was a guy that didn't play much at all in the playoffs, but yet was an important part of the team. That's just the way it's got to be for clubs that are going to win. One thing, there was a big roar in the Panthers dressing room the other day because some people from the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital in Florida actually showed up in the room at practice to present their captain, Sasha Barkov, with the King Clancy Award for service to the community. And they also announced at the same time, courtesy of the league, that he was yet another winner of the Selke Trophy as the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League. And Paul Maurice looked at that and talked about it.
It so fits his personality that it's done quietly. He's got a connection to that hospital and those kids, but that connection's not on a website every day. It's not a photo op for Sasha. That's not what that's all about. That's just the way he is. So he would enjoy that. I think he enjoyed it, especially having the kids there to present it to him. It was a fun day for him.
Sasha Barkov himself talked about seeing the kids and how surprised he was to get the award that day.
Yeah, it's a big honor to get that. Obviously, it's for something you do like off the ice as well. And for me, it's very important to do that kind of stuff, especially with the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital, obviously kids, but at the same time, like all the workers that work there, they're doing amazing job there. So I'm really, really happy and honored to be able to help in some way, and to get that award is very important for me. So I'm really, really thankful for that.
Panthers captain also leads a team that has the best record on the road in the playoffs, and he says that's something that they've been prepared for and they're looking forward to.
We accepted that. Like, we knew that we're probably gonna have to start every series on the road, and I think we've done a good job. Like, we accept the challenge and we play exactly the way we want to play. And obviously, every single game we learn something new, and that's how we go.
Well, one thing we'll always know and always learn is that Sasha Barkov's going to be one of the best players on the ice. He works so well with Sam Reinhart. They just seem to be attached at the hip. Reinhart, a really solid scorer, but also a really complete player, in my opinion, somebody that's really helped the Panthers win the cup last year.
Oh, 100%. And they missed him when he was injured for a couple of games. It just changes the dynamic of the team. This Florida Panthers team is so impressive. Barkov's the leader. Danny, remember, what was it, 2 years ago when Paul Maurice first got to Florida and told us about what was going on in Florida and how much he raved about Barkov, even though Barkov was injured at the time? and still talked about the importance of Sasha Barkov. He's an incredible player. And somebody, again, I'll give you tons of credit, somebody that you've talked about years before everybody else was talking about how good this guy is and how great he was going to be. Well, you've been proven right again.
Well, once again, he's certainly proved it to everybody. What I saw a number of years ago has really blossomed into something beyond what even a lot of people ever thought. And that's something that's going to be played out in this Stanley Cup final. Hope you enjoy the final, and we'll have all the information right here.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.